once in your answer to a question in class, I thought I heard you say it was morally permissible to copy tapes of speakers and conferences. If this is true, what about copyright laws and royalties due the producer or subject of the tape? Well, I am sure when I gave the answer, I gave some qualification. The one basic qualification is, it is permissible to copy tapes of speakers and conferences, provided you do not deprive either the speaker or the one behind the speaking of the revenue which the speaker would gain. I have permission from my superiors, I'm under a vow of poverty, permission from my superiors to allow people to, copy tapes of talks or conferences unless they have been professionally recorded for sale. And now, you might say, these tapes, may I say, pardon me, are they being professionally recorded?
We pray so, Father.
I didn't quite hear what he said.
He said, we pray so, Father.
Well, I will then interpret my superior's directives, of course, by all means, because I'm so grateful for the recording being done. And please do not deprive the generous persons who are taping these talks of the revenue, because they're doing this. I don't pay them a cent. However, over the years, I have never told people unless they were meant to be then sold for the purpose of revenue. I would think the purpose in taping these talks is, for such revenue as we'll support these generous people, but not to make a lot of money. Am I correct?
Spread the faith, Father.
Please?
We do it to spread the faith.
So, however, it would be well to buy the tapes, because then we both help you to support the benefactor to do the taping and also spread the faith. Why was Vatican II convened? And what were the popes concerned? Pope John the 23rd, as he said, convened Vatican II to reform the Catholic Church. Unquote. And mind you, that was 1962. And at the heart of that reformation was to reform the Catholic Church in her faith in the real presence of Christ, in the sacrifice of the Mass, and in Holy Communion as receiving the living Christ. That's why the first document of Vatican II was on the liturgy. Needless to say, the enemy was also busy. over the Pope's concerns, the concerns that, shall I say, try our present Roman pontiff, widespread infidelity, especially in the two, we've said them before, who remembers now? What are the two first and principal capital sins?
Pride and lust.
That's it. Pride and lust. And hear it. Unless a person maintains extraordinary humility, the more academically educated the person is, the more tempted and seduced that person will be by pride. Am I clear? And behind what we're calling sex education, a multi-billion dollar conspiracy to seduce people to the crime of lust. The priest retreat you will be conducting here in August, is it for the guests or the priests of Assumption Grotto? Oh no. And Father Brown came. Yeah, several days before we finally met. He came upstairs. We had a meeting behind closed doors. And among the decisions we made was to have a retreat, which, by the way, is to be just the beginning. Our plan is to begin to help priests. And a retreat is one way, but that's not the only way. And by the way, I think I told you, now going to be published in 3 magazines, offering the 30-day spiritual exercises to priests. They could use it. Some people have said Cardinal Bunini was a high-level Mason whose mission was to destroy the Roman Catholic Church by perverting the liturgy. Is that true? All I knew about, not Cardinal Bunini, his Archbishop, he was never made a cardinal. What I do know about Archbishop Bunini is, I think I've shared this with you on some occasion. This is already well after the Second Vatican Council closed. Pope Paul VI finally realized what Bunini was doing. So one Monday morning, as Bunini came to his office at the Vatican, a note on the door, Archbishop Bunini, report to the Secretary of State. He looked down the corridor from his office. All his belongings were removed. And were they in the corridor? Removed from office and made, well, the ambassador to Iran. He died shortly after. Then we should pray every day for the Holy Father. May we trust the United States Council of Catholic Bishops, NCCB. Well, This is where my Jesuit prudence comes in. And here I'm quoting from the Second Vatican Council. Not just the council or conference of bishops, but any bishop is to be accepted in his teaching and followed in his orders insofar as the bishop or bishops conform to the teaching and the directives of the Bishop of Rome. My best and safest answer. A friend tells me Vatican II Council was pastoral and not doctrinal. Is this true? He says no new doctrines were defined. Please explain. Well, whatever the original plan of Pope John the 23rd, whatever his original plan was, by the time the council finished in 65, Pope Paul the 6th made the decision, and he's the one who described Vatican II officially as a pastoral council. There are no formal definitions of Vatican II. However, as I've told so many people over the years, the Second Vatican Council is both valid and authentic. In other words, Vatican II not only may, but, thank you, much should be followed. However, and this is the most important however I've spoken during this whole semester, however, Vatican II should be interpreted according to the mind of the Bishop of Rome. Am I clear? I think I've told you, for the first 14 years after Vatican II, the only English translation of the Vatican II documents was, well, probably remembered by, well, editor Walter Abbott. I've said that, I'm sure, more than once. Over 2,000 errors in just translation. Every conference, every declaration of Vatican II, then in that translation, followed by a Protestant interpretation, openly, avowedly, professedly Protestant. That is why, for years, English-speaking Catholics, Vatican II says this, Vatican II says that. But, as is so sadly true, so few English-speaking Catholics know any Latin. That is why, by the way, and, oh, pardon me, I could have asked you, but I promised the retreatants in Chicago and other saints, by next fall, we would organize a very simple and basic home study course in learning some ecclesiastical Latin. Are you interested?
Yes.
Put up your hands. Thank you. So, I hope that answers that question. I work in a mailroom, and many business, other kinds of magazines come in daily by subscription, as well as understands to be promoted or distributed through the various offices. These covers are sex-oriented, as well as some of the advertising within the pages. Well, it is a hard decision that so many, the most Catholics in our country today, have to make. Well, I guess implicitly is, what am I my job? Am I cooperating in what, say, these magazines portray or display? But how many positions are there in our country today? Where can you go? Where can you turn? Well, the company you're working for, the industry, the business, is not somehow, either undermining the true faith or perverting sound, sane morality. Am I clear? And therefore, the answer, if a person needs the job, then necessity would require. And a person say, keep the job. But over the years, I've recommended people trying to find another job over the U.S. mail. The President of the United States openly, avowedly promoting the murder, as you know, of children ready to be born. Openly promoting, supporting homosexuality. We are living in the most deeply paganized nation of human history. I've never made that statement before. The most deeply paganized nation in human history is the United States today. What is your prophecy on the future of America and the world in the sense of earthly living? Is it possible you think that people like we are occupying some other planet, or they may in some future? My friends, we are living on another planet. Our bodies are here, but please God, our souls are not. We are living on another planet. And the secret, of course, shall I say it, is not just survival, but working, laboring to restore, I don't say Christianity, just sanity to our country. We've got work to do. I said more than once, I'm wasting your time if all you've done is come to the classes and listen to this Jesuit talk. Souls to be saved. Could you contrast frequent confession and scrupulosity? Is scrupulosity condemned by the church? I am drawn to frequent confession. Also, I have prayed for an increased awareness of my sinfulness. Do I need to trust the mercy of God in the Blessed Sacrament? More for my filial sins, Or may I still avail myself of free confession with no peril to my faith. Avail yourself of frequent confession. I don't want to say publicly how often I have been going to confession for the last 40 years. But I can call it frequent confession. Remember coming in from Europe in the international section of our airport, metro airport. Evening, I hadn't gone to confession. So, the driver, picking me and my companion, was a priest. I tell you this. I should have got off going through customs. Want to go to confession. He didn't understand me. I want to go to confession. You know, I want to tell my sins and get absolution. Then he dawned on me what I was saying. So then, he was bigger than me. But I took him aside and I went to confession in the airport. So, go to confession. Have you heard anything about the alumina visits by the bishops from Ohio and Michigan? No, not yet. What is a good definition of the capital sin, sloth, besides being lazy? My favorite definition of sloth. Sloth is the unwillingness to cooperate with the grace of God. Sloth is the unwillingness to cooperate with the grace of God. See, there are three kinds of laziness. And here, 34:35. Laziness of the body, which we all know. Oh, well, we know that. Laziness of the mind. Well, I know that. 12 or too many years. Remember? I had my Jesuits. Any question? I know she didn't know the answer. Even hear the question. Lazy minds. Most people just don't want to think. Did you know that? That's why there's advertising. Did you know that? Substitute for thinking. But then there's the will. Laziness of will. The will, I repeat, and this is sloth. Not ready to cooperate with the grace of God. Have you fulfilled your Sunday obligation if you arrive at the beginning of the offertory? Which document says this? Well, over the centuries, the church has taught that to hear Mass, you must be there for what we used to call the offertory. It still is the offertory. In other words, when the priest begins, well, raises the host, there were hosts also on the altar, and offers his bread, which is to become the body of Christ. So the church's teaching over the centuries has been to hear Mass. Person must have been there in time for the offertory. Can priests move from an order that has gone bad to a good one? Yes. Are some of those retired priests coming to the August retreat I don't know. This, by the way, is to be a beginning of a need for priests' retreats. So, yes, priests can move from an order called bad to a good one. If you have been consecrated to Our Lady, then all your actions and merits are hers. It is still important to be specific in prayer, since it's Our Lady can use them the way she wants. Thanks for the question. And you know, the author, who was the one behind this? Saint?
Louis de Montfort.
Please?
Louis de Montfort.
Okay. Now, when he was being examined, of course, after his death for canonization, this was one of the main objections to his canonization. And the theologians, examining his cause, said, what is he talking about? Well, they examined his writings and they found out he did not mean this literally. Am I clear? You know, literally, well, to Our Lady, all the merits are hers. And maybe we might have at least one class on Our Lady. Don't you think it might be useful? In other words, the Church's interpretation of these words are, you are willing, you are ready, give Our Lady everything, including your merits. But then, it is, well, up to God, up to her divine Son, not to use them as she wants, but to use these merits as God has already determined that our merits are to be used. Father, do you know what became of the ex-bishop of Atlanta? Eugene Marino. Was he a good bishop prior to his downfall? Well, I knew him. I understand he is now doing quiet, I should even say, unknown pastoral work. Can you tell us any of the particular circumstances of Mother Teresa's death, who was with her, last words, and so on? Well, the names of the people I could give you, and even I do know because I was with her. Well, shortly before she died, so I was called to Calcutta. I was there, flew in for her funeral. So, and since I've been asked by the Missionaries of Charity to write Mother Teresa's spirituality, this will be in print if the Lord provides me with the time. Could you please comment some more on the Polish National Church? You know, the Polish National Church started already in Poland. And of course, there are, I'm sure, other Polish national churches besides the United States. And of course, the bottom line is obedience to the Vicar of Christ. And I can tell you this. The large Polish National Church in Cleveland, which is my hometown, a pastor there. Shortly before his death, he made his confession and received the last sacraments from my pastor, who is now Polish but German, Monsignor Schaffold. And was given a beautiful Catholic funeral. What is the most difficulty, greatest difficulty, which doesn't bring the church is unity. Isn't it the refusal of celibacy? Well, I have to see what I've said before. The two principal sins which have divided the church over the centuries, will continue doing so until the end of time, are pride and lust. What is good or wrong? About sexual morality teaching. Well, as I may have told you on some occasion, I was told by the Holy See to analyze. It may still be the most widely circulated series in sex education called the New Creation Series. I analyzed it for the Holy See in two parts. Spent some 2 months doing the job. And warm encouragement and thanks, including the Holy Father's private secretary. But then, I think I told you this, didn't I? Couldn't find a Catholic publisher. Told to publish it. Father Paul Marx published, well, anonymously, for the Human Life International. What's wrong is, behind all sex education, I repeat, behind all the advertised, publicized, and used sex education is to change the thinking of children from their tenderest years, change them from thinking that sexual thoughts and desires are wrong, and they must be controlled. That sexual pleasure is reserved only within the sacred precincts of marriage. That is behind sex education. When is your anniversary of ordination? Oh, 18th of June. Last week, you asked us to write something spiritual. Did you bring guidelines? Did I promise guidelines?
Yeah.
Did I?
That thing you wrote on writing?
Yeah. What if I give you this one basic guideline? I think the first spiritual writing that all of us should do is to put down our thoughts, our reflections, every day. Put something on paper every day, which somehow pertains to your relationship with God. I renew this as I enter the Society of Jesus. So, call it a spiritual diary, call it a log, call it whatever name you wish. Even just a single sentence. These are my directives from St. Ignatius. if a bishop or priest is excommunicated or been to say Mass or hear confessions, is the Mass or absolution still valid? Well, it depends on the severity of the excommunication. And there were fewer excommunications that would carry with them the prohibition to say Mass. They could be prohibited from saying Mass publicly. Am I clear? But not from saying Mass. Or your confessions. And I think I've said this before. Every priest, no matter how excommunicated he may be, every priest who is still alive has the faculties to absolve sins when a person is in danger of death. Automatically, every priest can absolve anyone who is in danger of death. And the same would apply to the administration of anointing for a person who is dying. How do we find out specific needs of priests in order for us to help meet their needs? Oh, thanks for the question. Now please, don't call a father so-and-so. Father, I have an assignment. I am to, help priests. Could you tell me, what are your needs? This is our last class. However, as you know, I'm on the premises. I live in Jesu Rectory, but I work here. I'd be very happy. No, hell, you got. Could you take another job? What if I provide you? Now, did they also get your phone number? Now, if you need help, let me know. But there are publications by priests and for priests. Good publications. There was, for example, the Clergy Review, which is a quarterly of the Confraternity of Catholic Clergy. There's also the Homiletic and Pastoral Review. And all kinds of back issues. What we could do, maybe, is, photostat a few pages, and then, why do we put it this way? By the way, I never know what these questions are going to be. I'd be willing to provide, but give me time for, spelling out some of the needs of priests. Am I clear? Expressed in print, I can share with you.
It's read at the end of class. What you want to read now?
Here, please ask those who are attending Mass at the convent. Enter through the chapel door.
Do you know what the chapel door is?
The chapel door is, it's to the right. Where are we? Where are we? Is it over there? Well, the regular door is to the left. You walk around, you're on the building to your right. There's a sidewalk. And it is. Father Matthew is in class.
For the blessing.
Oh, Father Matthew is in class. Having taught priests over the years, I'm so happy. Now, Father Matthew, how about the two of us? Give me the blessing, okay? May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon all of you and remain with you forever.